Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing as we get set for a crazy weekend of action that's coming up. And can't wait for Football Friday. Rob Vino will break it down with us. College football, some really, really interesting games on the board. And now we're basically into like must-win mode. There's a ton of teams that their backs are against the wall if they want to keep any hope of making the playoffs alive, including my Michigan Wolverines, as there's a lot of negative talk going on right now in Ann Arbor. We're in a hostile season right now. We're seeing coaches are starting to get fired. Fan bases are starting to get upset about failed expectations. And it's real right now. Like USC and Notre Dame, as big as it gets. Missouri, can they bounce back after their first loss? Missouri losing to Alabama, there's no shame in that, but they've got to be able to beat Auburn. And it's pretty crazy. I saw, we've talked a lot about this, about like Missouri this year. Why I liked Missouri so much was because of their schedule. A lot of it was because of the schedule. And I saw Todd Furman tweeted this out the other day. Total travel miles flied so far, college football. Hawaii, 26,000 miles. The Hawaii football team has already traveled 26,000 miles already this year. And the Missouri Tiger football team, zero. Missouri have not played a road game yet. As crazy as that is, it's amazing, isn't it? It's October they're going to play their first road game on October the 18th. So they did a pretty good job of racking up the wins. They won five of their six first home games. Now it gets tricky for them. And, I was feeling so good about my Missouri bet over 6.5 before. I'm like, this is legit free money. They're 5-0. Missouri had the 132nd easiest schedule in the country for the first 5 weeks of the season. They have the 7th hardest schedule in the country now. Literally, the 7th hardest schedule. And I got my concerns suddenly. I'm like, damn, can they squeeze two more out of this? I don't think they're going to be making the playoffs. Like, Bo Prabula is really good, but Prabula got exposed last week. But I'm kind of hoping that and thinking that, that was the first, like, really tough game that he had to play. That it'll be a little bit easier now. Like, if you could tell, like, it caught Missouri off guard playing Alabama. That's the downfall when you want to play UMass and Kansas and pad your record early in the season. Okay, you know what? You're into week 6. Alabama have been flying, and they're playing with, like, live bullets. Alabama have been playing crazy games all year. And, Missouri settled down. Their defense played great. They played very well in the second half. They were right there. They had the ball. Prabula threw a bad interception on the last drive of the game, potentially to send a game to overtime or a game-driving win. So we'll see. There's a lot to learn. We're going to learn about Michigan this week. They're hosting Washington. Things are going to get real ugly in Ann Arbor right now if Moore doesn't win this game. People are, like, pointing fingers at him. But all you people pointing fingers at him need to realize the players on the team are only there because of him. Like, they all love him. So you throw him under the bus, it's going to be a mass exodus. Players are going to leave. Recruits are going to start to, like, cancel and go somewhere else. So, Michigan fan, chill out. And another thing for Michigan fan, listen, I'm as diehard as it gets. This was kind of my expectation, guys, right? We have an 18-year-old quarterback that, like, he just turned 18, okay? The kid should be in high school still, essentially. So, yeah, he's Bryce Underwood, and he's a stud, and he's 6'4", and he's big, and all that type stuff, but he's still a kid, right? No, drop any kid and go to Oklahoma in week 2. See how that works out for you, right? Like, the Sooners are good. The USC Trojans are good. Like, I told you guys before the year started, USC over 7.5, USC can go to the playoffs this year. People laughed. Oh, they have no defense. They don't need a defense when you got that offense. And they do have a defense. They just held Michigan to 13 points. So Michigan losing at USC and losing at Oklahoma isn't worthy of firing the coach. You guys, people, the modern sport fan, everybody is just, you're a bunch of morons. You got to chill out, man, right? Michigan, I said before the year, listen, Michigan's freaking win total was 8.5, dumbasses. Like, it moved to 9. right? It was like 8.5. That tells you that the sports books thought this is a 9-3 football team. My guess and my hope was, I said, man, I hope we're 10-2. 9-3 is probably the look, right? So, and here we are right now. So, yeah, there's real estate to go here that they got to win a bunch of games, but we're not playing Oklahoma anymore. We're not playing USC. We got Michigan State coming up. We got, like, Washington Huskies. You know what I mean? Like, you look at the games that Michigan are playing, there's no reason why Michigan cannot be 9-2 going into the Ohio State game. And I know what people are thinking. Well, you won't have a hope in hell against Ohio State. Well, people have said that 4 years in a row to us. And, hell, I didn't think we had a hope in hell against Ohio State last year. We beat them. So, Michigan find a way to beat Ohio State. Look, if you look at Michigan's schedule, they host Washington this week. Not going to be easy. They go to Michigan State. Now, Sparty hate us, so it's going to be tough. But Sparty's got issues. Purdue blow. Northwestern suck. Maryland, okay, whatever. Like, if Michigan lose any one of these games, then I will be upset. But I'm expecting them to head into the final week of the season with a 9-2 record. You beat Ohio State, you're in the playoffs. If we don't, we're going to the Outback Bowl. That's the basic gist of it. Another thing I want to get to before we bring Cam in, and actually we'll bring Cam in on this. So the baseball playoffs are continuing, but we live in a day and age right now, and it's good because, listen, I've said a lot of crazy things over the years at sporting events. I've gotten lit up, right? So, like, we've all had our moments of shame before. But I can honestly tell you I've never gotten racist, right? Like, if you're racist, it's going to be in you, right? Like, so if I'm drunk, I don't, like, oh, I said something, like, racist. I don't remember, like, you know what I mean? But I know that's not really me, but I said it. No, I might say a lot of, like, offensive things, but there won't be racist things, right? So, but we live in an era right now where, let's just be real, like, racism is sort of being celebrated and it's been brought up. Like, it's we're in an ugly era right now. And people pretend they're not, but you know, right? Like, you know. Like, college football fans are the worst. Like, LSU players, like, tell me, like, the things that you hear their fans say to them and stuff, like, right? And, like, so there's always this veneer that you know it's under if you just, like, a cake. If you take the icing off, the cake is racist. So do you think of Milwaukee as some sort of, like, beacon of racism? No, probably not. But so anyways, the story is, and the media is all over this right now. I'm reading this, the New York Post, and like every mainstream outlet has picked this up. You guys remember a couple of weeks ago, there was the blonde woman. She got into it with the kid and basically the Karen, right? And poor woman named Karen, because the name Karen's been hijacked.
You're so right. I feel bad for Karen.
Karen, and the male version is Chad.
Oh, is that what it is? It's, yeah. Chad?
Chad.
Didn't know Chad.
Yeah. Whatever.
Chad's Karen?
Chad's a whiny white guy that complains. I want to speak to the manager. It's like, all right, Chad.
Manager. I never heard that. Is it really Chad? I never knew.
Yeah. And I even knew that like 2 years ago. And we literally had like two Chads in our chat. They were really upset. They're like, oh, Renzi, like, come on, man, don't do that. Like,
yeah, that's
I'm not a bad guy. I was like, no, I'm not. I know, I'm just saying. But I just said, the male version, you want to look it up in the Urban Dictionary, like on the street, the male version of Karen is Chad.
Amazing.
That's what, like, women say back to dudes. You know, shut the hell up, Chad. Right? Like, Chad. You're Chad.
That's
I think
awesome.
Sumner would be better.
Like, yeah, like some, like, you should be like a rich, like, should be like a rich name. Like,
Davis,
like, you know, Lump, like,
for, shut up.
Yeah.
Davis.
Like Davis. Yeah. Like, so I want to hear like a name that drips like privilege.
I don't know
and
how
wealth.
It became Karen. It's funny. Karen.
I know so many Karens. Down, Karen. I grew up with a couple of Karens in high school. Great ladies. Like, actually, one of the nicest, like, girls I know. Like, that's a shame that that's your name for the rest of your life. That sucks.
No one will be named Karen. Like, anyone that has baby in this era now, they're like, no, you can't name her Karen.
It's
like,
over.
She's going to be picked on.
Exactly.
Like, she's going to be picked on. You're hey, right. Karen. Hey, Karen. Like,
oh, that sucks.
Like, it's pretty crazy, the name Karen has been hijacked.
It's nuts.
I think a Goodfellas. Karen! Yeah. Karen, we needed that. They were never going to find it.
Yeah, flush the poop down the toilet.
Karen, lost money I have. Karen. So, yeah, Karen is a new name. So, yeah, there was the woman in Philadelphia. There was, remember, guys, there was the home run ball. A dad got the ball. She was freaking livid. She was like, that's my ball. It was near me, and you got it. And she started, like, getting in the kid's face, like, and it got kind of ugly and stuff. And she got, like, completely ridiculed, mocked, and I don't think she got fired and stuff because I don't know if she worked. Like, so, like, her life wasn't ruined, but people, like, in the internet, now, Cam, if you do one thing, people track you down. Like, they're able, with facial recognition and the internet and stuff, people know who you are. So, like, if you were, it wouldn't take, or me, like, if I said something in the game and they were like, oh, a white ball guy said something, it would take 2 seconds before people would go, oh, that's that Morency guy, right? But anonymous people, you're not anonymous. And I don't really even know how people do it as quickly as they do it, but psychos on the internet will find your sorry ass fast. So there was a woman at the Dodger game the other night. The Dodgers in Milwaukee. Dodgers take the 2-0 lead. There's an Hispanic Dodger fan. Hispanic Dodger fan turns around and he says to the section in the crowd near the end of the game, why y'all so quiet? Why y'all so quiet? Go Dodgers. All right. You know, was he taunting the crowd? Yeah. But it wasn't offensive and it's all in good nature, right? And it's on video. So you hear the way he says it too. And it wasn't like confrontational, right? You know, like, hell, I've done that at football games. You know, where you at now? Where you at now? Oh, I touched you. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone, like, you yell at a game and stuff like that. He just turned around and he had his drink, and it was like a White Claw cooler. And he basically said, why y'all so quiet now? Why y'all so quiet? And he started laughing. And she had a good first line. She goes, only pussies drink that stuff. Real men drink beer. All right. Good first line, lady. Good first line back. Not bad. Like, I don't mind that at all. I don't mind that at all.
That's
like, he had two White Claws in his hand, Cam. Right? So she drops that to him.
Only in Wisconsin, you call somebody a pussy for drinking an alcoholic drink.
Exactly. So they're beer. Yeah, she's only pussy. Oh, she said, real men. She called him a pussy. She said, real men. Don't drink. I drink. A lot of people do. But, like, anyways, good line, though. I gave her the line. Fine. He even kind of chuckled at it. He laughed. And he said, it's all good. And then he took a swig of his drink. And then she said to him, I'm going to call ICE on you. And then she turned around and said to people in the section, somebody go get ICE. Go get ICE and arrest this man. And then he said to her, he said, go F yourself, go call ICE. He said, I'm a 2-time war veteran. And then she kind of got a little rattled. And she got him kicked out. She went to security and got him kicked out somehow. Because, of course, they took the white chick with the Karen blonde haircut. They took her word for it. They booted the Dodger fan out of the game. It was near the end of the game anyway. So it turns out her name is Shannon Krobelisic. Shannon Krobelisic, a Brewers fan who said, let's call ICE on a Latino Dodger fan at game 2 of the National League Championship Series, has been fired from her job.
Unreal.
Hope it was worth it, Shannon. Carlos Eric worked for a manpower group who was signed in a work agency. She has been fired. They announced that she has been fired. She has also been removed. This lady, a nice lady, she was on the Make-A-Wish Foundation. She was on the chairman of the board of directors of the Make-A-Wish Wisconsin Foundation. She has been removed. So, lady, you ruin your life because you're a racist piece of crap. I hope it was worth it. And if you've seen this lady's face, like, she is just, like, hideous. And her dumbass husband next to her, you look like a tool bag too, bro. Like, the fact that you were chucking away, all right, real funny. You were chucking away while your wife was talking smack and getting racist with a Hispanic Dodger fan. Now your family is shamed and fired. Ricardo Fasado was the Dodger fan. Ricardo Fasado is a nice guy. because he says he's been interviewed now. He's been interviewed now. And he says that she made a mistake during the incident. And he said that there was other things that she said that was not, that he didn't have on his phone. And he said that she's basically racist. He said, and then he goes on to say it's unbelievable. He goes, I feel bad for her. I don't think her life should be ruined. He goes, you can't be judged on one mistake. A lot of emotions were involved in the moment. It was just hurt feelings.
She goes, bigger man.
She goes, nothing physical happened. I'm not hurt. Her life should not be ruined, says Fasado, who goes on to say that he's a Navy vet who served two tours of duty. Manpower Group said in a statement, the employee is no longer with the organization. This is the era we live in, people, right now. So unless you're unemployed, you're a drug dealer, or you've got a lot of money on your own, be careful what you say to people, because you're going to get fired.
Unless you're unemployed. You're
if you're unemployed, say what you want. You can't get me canceled. Like, you can't,
exactly.
Like, you
know what I mean? Like, not going to buy my drugs? That's the best. Shannon's the new Karen. Yeah,
if you're just so like if you're just some degenerate gambler, doesn't have a job, like, you say what you want to people. And like, you can't get, like, you can get shamed on the internet, but at least you won't get fired from your job. But that's the era we're in now, Cam. Like, the internet will find you. Like, I knew right away when I saw the video, I was like, it'll take about 30 minutes before we know everything about this lady. And it took about a day, right? And here we are right now. Like, she's on the front page of the New York Post, Cam.
She's an idiot. But the thing about it is, you go up to a guy because he's Spanish. What, you assume, you say, call ICE? Like, that's ridiculous. You don't know anything about this man. You don't know where he's from, how he grew up. That's the whole thing, Marenzi. People are just complete idiots. Like, they don't even think about, like, any situation. And the best is how he turns out to be a war veteran. Shame on you, Shannon.
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't, you know. I could go on about this, but like, it's sad. And like I said, I don't believe in, I understand that people make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I get it. I understand that we all say dumb things at times. And I don't know. I totally get it. But like, that wasn't like a mistake she made, and she wasn't wasted, this lady. Like, she wasn't hammered or anything like that. This is her true character. And like Buddy said, she said a lot of other things that wasn't on video before and after. So he got her with the ICE statement. That was the part that he had on camera. Yet, you know, it's sad that, like, that's what people are. And you know that's what people are. And I wouldn't be surprised. And, well, I guarantee you guys, just how sad this is. I guarantee you somebody hires her because she's racist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Somebody is going to, now a company is, oh, yeah, she was unfairly treated. You should call ICE on everybody. I would have called ICE. And she'll get hired. She'll get hired by some racist. Or now, you know what? Actually, GoFundMe. The racist people out there. That's what usually happens now. Actually, it's pretty sad. Anytime anyone's racist life gets ruined now, other racists give them money. So she'll probably get a couple of $100,000 out of this right now for being racist. Like, that's crazy. That's the world that we're in right now. Big win for the Toronto Blue Jays over the Seattle Mariners. I told Blue Jay fans to chill out. I also kind of knew, I had the feeling that going on the road would be better for the Toronto Blue Jays, and getting away, even though the Blue Jays are a good home team, getting away from the city of Toronto and the craziness and the hype, it's real there, right? Like, it's real. And as I stated too, the Toronto Blue Jay players all live by the stadium. So they're feeling it. They're never really away from it, right? So you beat the Yankees, you're back in Toronto. You're waiting to start the series. You get caught up in the hometown stuff, and you just sort of, your mind starts to drift. It's like NHL playoff teams on the road. It's a business trip. You're at the hotel. You're not with the family. You're just sort of isolated and focused on one thing. And you get caught up in the crowd, the national anthems and all that type of stuff, and your adrenaline. So I thought I really did. And I even tweeted it out in the afternoon. I said, I think it'll help the Jays going on the road. It'll calm them down. It worked. Today, though, is different. Like, now it's okay. you know, the Mariners will have that home field jitters erased. Like yesterday, last night, they were all super excited, the Mariners, thinking about, oh my God, we're going to go to the World Series and stuff like that. Now it'll just sort of be like another game today for them. And you got Max Scherzer on the hill for the Blue Jays, who hasn't pitched in like a month or so, basically nearly a month, what, 3.5 weeks or whatever exact, and didn't pitch well the last couple of times that he pitched, right? Scherzer started off the season kind of slow, got into a groove midseason where it was like, wow, he looks really good. And then he got hurt, and again, and now it's, well, he hasn't pitched in 3.5 weeks. We're hoping for the best. And it's a complete gamble with Scherzer, Cam. Who knows? He could get rocked in the first inning. He could give them 3 scoreless innings. The Blue Jays are rolling the dice tonight with Max Scherzer.
Oh, big time. And that's the thing. I remember there was a game in Kansas City, Gabe, didn't even get out of the first inning, gave up 7 runs. But the thing about Scherzer, I like what you said before, like when we were talking, there's a reason why he's Max Scherzer. Can he find magic? Yeah, it's possible. But I'm going to tell you, with lost velocity, he's going to have to pick his spots. And to your other point, you got to help this guy with run support. They were down the first guy in game number three there, Gabe, and then they fought back and absolutely kicked their ass. That's the thing. You don't want to create a hole tonight. That could be a recipe for disaster. I think it's very important that the Blue Jays score first in this game, put up a crooked number, and give Scherzer some confidence, and maybe he can go a couple extra innings. But we were thinking maybe, you know, 3 innings, 4 innings. If he can give them 4, I think that would be very, very good for the Blue Jays.
Well, 4. If he gave him 4, they would that means amazing. The Jays have a chance of winning the game.
Yep.
I don't think you'll be able to give them 4. If I'm the Blue Jays, listen, you roll him out there and you see what he could do. If he could get through the order, you know, without any damage, I'd get him out after 3. I wouldn't have a problem getting him out of 2, to be honest with you. The season's on the line if you're the Jays. Mm-hmm. What I don't understand is, where the hell is Chris Bassitt?
Exactly. And
Chris Bassitt is on the roster. So Chris Bassitt was named to the roster, and I heard last week they were like, you know, all right, Chris Bassitt, he could actually start one of these games. Yet here we are right now. Now, me personally, I would go with Chris Bassitt instead of Max Scherzer. So that's, you know, and I guess the deal is that Bassitt just isn't healthy enough. I don't really understand this, because I see that Chris Bassitt says, quote, "I feel good," tells the Toronto Star's Deep Left Field podcast. "I feel confident. I feel good about it. I've been throwing in simulation games. I'm good to go." Bassitt said, "The reality is I didn't really have an all-star break. I probably threw every 5 days more than anybody. I knew that I was wearing down, and I knew I wasn't in a great spot last month. But Barrios needed a day off, and Max needed a day off. They asked me, hey, can we use you tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And basically he got hurt. I've sacrificed a lot in the aspect of the way I pitch and how I've had to pick things up for other people. But I've seen Varsha go down. I've seen Straws playing hurt. I see Ernie Clement is playing a lot of positions through a lot of pain. I want to be there for them and pitch. So I don't know why they're not. Like, I don't understand this. God, you read this. I mean, Bassitt, he's basically begging them to put him out there. And you have him on the effing roster. Like, you, if he couldn't pitch, why'd you put him on the roster, the championship series roster for? I don't know if they're saving him, if they think, no, he's not quite ready, but I don't know. He just told you he's ready. He just said he can pitch. I would go with Bassitt instead of Max Scherzer personally. But I'm not in the clubhouse. I don't have their analytics. I don't know the personality stuff. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? So I can't say, oh, it's ridiculous they're not starting Bassitt. Just because he says he's good to go, they might know, listen, he's not. Or, because if they don't, if Bassitt was able to pitch, they would pitch him. They need pitchers. So, like, why wouldn't they? Like, it's not like, oh, yeah, we're scared of pitching Chris Bassitt. They must believe that he's not as good, as healthy as he says he is. But you're rolling out Max effing Scherzer tonight with the season on the line, man. Big gamble tonight. Big it gamble. Is. Last night, I loved the Jays. I slammed the Jays. I knew the Jays were going to win game 3. Tonight, I am not. Like, I'm not slamming the Jays. I don't know if they'll win tonight. In fact, I lean with the Mariners. I hope the Jays win because we're going to have a series then. But this is a serious Seattle spot tonight.
It is. But the thing is, so I guess maybe the Blue Jays are doing it in reverse. Scherzer starts this game. I would have started Bassett, and then maybe Scherzer could come in to eat a couple innings. From basically what they're talking about, Gabe, is if Scherzer's out, and you're right, because he's not going to pitch that many innings. They're hoping to get a couple, but Scherzer gets out, then Bassett could come in the game, and then you throw it to the bullpen after
that.
Yeah,
but so, I wouldn't do that. I personally wouldn't do that, Cam, because you don't know what you're going to get from Bassett.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to pitch two guys that I don't like. I'm you know what I mean? I'm already dancing with the devil once. I'm not dancing with the devil twice. I'm not going to like say, oh my God, I got to hold my breath and pray to God that Max Scherzer doesn't get lit up in the first couple innings. And then let's put Chris Bassett in who hasn't pitched in 3 weeks. And let's hold our breath. I can handle holding my breath later in the series with Bassett, but it's too risky. You're asking too much. Like, there's too much unknown, Cam. You can't go, like, for me, I can't, like, you don't know what you're going to get from Bassett. You don't know what you're going to get from Scherzer. So that's just, I can't go into a game thinking, yeah, the first six innings of this game, I'm counting on two guys I don't know what I'm going to get from.
The bottom line, though, Gabe, is you have to, like, you're looking at the bullpen. It got absolutely taxed the first couple of games, right? And you saw, like, Little got hit, all these other guys, Fisher. You know, that's one of the situations. I know. I agree with you too. Like, it's some kind of game plan, but it's a very, very risky one at that.
You'll see, my prediction is it'll be Lauer. They'll go to Lauer.
I like Lauer.
They'll go to Lauer first to eat up a couple innings, but it's going to be a problem. Like, if the Jays bats can hit Castillo, it'll make their lives a lot easier, and it'll take away. Because John Schneider, we've seen Schneider and the Jays. Listen, I'm not criticizing them when I say this, but like, they haven't been in a lot of big games before, right? Like, the Blue Jay players haven't been in a lot of big games before. Schneider hasn't managed in a lot of big games before. So there's going to be mistakes. Like, hell, managers that have managed a million games make mistakes. Mm-hmm. So we see this. So far, the managerial decisions of the Blue Jays have been pretty shaky. Right, with their pitching decisions, like how they've handled this in the series. And I've said this, on the show last night on TV. The Blue Jays can't win a close game. Like, the Blue Jays need to blow you out. Like, basically, if they blow you out, they're going to win, or they're just going to get blown out. If you get into a close game with the Blue Jays, you're going to beat them because Schneider will push the wrong buttons, and they sort of win in routes, this team, right? They're like the Buffalo Bills. The Bills will beat you in a route. You get them in a close game, you'll beat them because they're chokers. So the Jays have a lot of that in them, actually, right? So, you know, that's my concern for the Jays, that if it's a close game, it's going to implode. They need to hit Castillo, and they have. There's a couple of guys on the team that have hit Castillo a bit, but they're hitting .256 against them, which isn't great. Blue Jays are up against it, Cam. They're not done yet, but big game. Like, they need to win today. They're not going to come back from 3-1 down, so they got to tie the series today.
Oh, big time. You take a look at their guys with a bigger sample size, too. Guerrero, 18 at-bats, .222. Jimenez, .211. Like, you know what I mean, Gabe? Kenner Falefa is the best guy. He's had 13. He's hitting .385. Barger's only had 7 at-bats. So it's a very small sample size with these guys, but you're right. Castillo has to do – he's done some serious damage against these guys. And this is the thing, Morenci, which is really concerning too. Like, down the stretch in his final 25 regular season innings, Scherzer gave up 25 earned runs. That's insane. How, like, this could get really ugly real quick. Like, he needs to turn back the clock with magic. And to your point, they got to come out and like act absolutely smash and put runs on the board, or this could be a big, big disaster down 3-1.
Yeah. The Blue Jays bats need to show up today, just point blank. And they've got to pray, like you said, just pray that Scherzer somehow finds lightning in a bottle. We know that Scherzer, like, the Jays are doing this because they think that they know that Scherzer is tough mentally, right? They're like, all right, listen, this guy's been around forever. He's not going to panic in the moment. Okay, fine. He's not going to panic in the moment, but, like, psychologically, mentally, he can do it, but what about physically? is his body going to panic in the moment? Like, is his arm, can he pull this off is the question. His strikeout prop, for the record, is 3.5. Luis Castillo's strikeout prop is 4.5 to plus money. And I'm surprised. Max Scherzer's strikeout prop, guys, is -158 to the over, which leads me to that. It's like, wow, the odds makers think he's going to get 4 strikeouts because you're getting plus money at under 3.5. So that goes to show you a little bit that the odds makers have the computer, not the odds maker, but the computer has a little bit of confidence in Scherzer that he won't get knocked out of the game right away. And the odds makers do, because the Blue Jays are only plus 102 underdogs in the game.
I can't believe for Castillo strikeouts, it seems low. That's low, Gabe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you'll pay juice with 4 strikeouts, it's minus 200 on FanDuel. 5, you're getting plus 132. Like, Luis Castillo could throw strikes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think his number is a little bit shy. Like, what would you put his number at for strikeouts?
I would have made it 5.5.
Yeah. And over 5 is to plus 132. More money. 5 or more. Like, you know, if he gets 6, it's plus 270 for 6 strikeouts. He's very capable of striking out 6 pitches. Thing is,
he started one game against the Tigers and he started one game against the Tigers and he had 3 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. And he only went 4 innings.
Yeah.
Right. So, and he pitched in relief against them as well. He had a strikeout at 1 1/3. He's usually around, like, he's all over the place, Castillo. He had a 10 strikeout game against Colorado, but 3 strikeouts against the Royals, 5 against the Angels, 5 against the, he's not really a power pitcher anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, he used to be more of a power pitcher. There's more, you know, there's a lot of ground balls with him. He plays the contact a little bit more now that he's a little bit older. He's still really good. Like, he's still like he's a nasty pitcher still, but you know, they have 5.5, everybody would slam the under. And also too, the Blue Jays don't strike out a lot,
mm-hmm.
right? Correct. The Blue Jays are a very disciplined team at the plate. And even now they haven't looked disciplined at the plate in this series. But if you'll notice, they don't strike out because they swing at bad pitches. Like, the Blue Jays, it's been a bad habit for them in this series. They're swinging at, like, the first or second pitch a lot, and they're getting easy outs. Yesterday, they worked the count more. They got back to what they do, like, on the road, and they got the power, right? The ball went over the fence, which actually, you know, which helped them a lot.
Yes.
There's a Thursday night football game tonight that I'm not really overly excited about. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals are getting 5.5 points on their home field. Everybody loves the Bengals in this game. Total is 44.5. What are you betting on this game, Ken?
Oh, I didn't know everybody liked the Bengals, but I kind of like the Bengals in this spot. I like what I saw from Flacco in the second half of that game. And I know, you know, you look at Cincinnati, Hendrickson, if he's out, that's a big problem for them. But I still think they can get to Aaron Rodgers. The thing is, Gabe, you know, Pittsburgh plays in a lot of close games, covering numbers. I think it could be right around the number. I like what I saw against Cincinnati, Gabe. They covered in Lambeau against Green Bay. They were in that game. They played better defensively. I'm going to take a shot with the Bengals. I mean, obviously, it's not my favorite game of the week, but I think they can cover that 5.5. I lean Cincy.
I lean Cincy as well. I don't love it. But Pittsburgh Steelers aren't really, you know, the Steelers aren't good enough to be laying 6 points on the exactly. road against anybody, really. And the Bengals, the fact that it is the Steelers, even though the Bengals season is done, that they'll get up for this. They will be excited to play against the Pittsburgh Steelers on national television. Getting the 5.5, I can see the Steelers winning by field goal type of deal. Man, it's an ugly, it's such an ugly card in the National Football. Doesn't mean you can't pick winners, but
yep.
Man, there's a lot of just bad games. Been this way for a couple of weeks, actually, now, in the National Football League, where the Sundays are just like, man, there's just
some gross games.
You know, the New Orleans Saints and Chicago Bears, Miami Dolphins, Cleveland Browns, Carolina Panthers, New York Jets, New England Patriots, Tennessee Titans. I'm on the West Coast. This is the type of Sunday morning where I might sleep in.
That's the best. Yeah, that's wait for the Monday nighter with the Seahawks and Texans. No, there's some gross games. Like, and think about that too. Like, even Jacksonville Rams, I guess it's not too bad. But yeah, this is a really rough week. When you take a look at the sched, like the best game is Detroit and Tampa Bay. That's the game of the week.
Now, speaking of the games of the week, it's the final games of the week in the MLS regular season this weekend. Hard to believe, but the MLS season is finally coming to a close. So it's decision day on Saturday, and they smartly have all the teams basically playing at the same time. And the Vancouver Whitecaps control their own destiny. So the Vancouver Whitecaps, with a win or a draw, will be the top seed in the Western Conference, which is an incredible accomplishment. From like where this team was 5 years ago, what year are we now? 2025, yeah. So 5 years ago when I started going to games, there was like 9,000 people at the game, 12,000 people. They didn't make the playoffs. Like it was basically to go to the game. Right? There was no hope. It was like, you know, they're not very good. The Vancouver Whitecaps salary cap was like lowest, like dead lowest in the entire league. Like they have no money. You know what I mean? It was one of those. They have no money. They're fading. The owner wants to sell the team. There's big problems around the franchise type stuff. To fast forward to now, they made it to the CONCACAF Champions League final this year. They lost because they got food poisoned, but they made it to the final. They signed an all-time legend in Thomas Mueller. Thomas Mueller not only signs, and people are like, oh, well, no, he's 35 years old. You know the funniest and stupidest, like sports, you guys are so, not people that tune into this show. If you're listening to this show, you're smart, but people are so stupid now. They said, oh, he's not even starting for Bayern Munich. Cam, you know how hard it is? That's like saying you're not even starting for like the Philadelphia Eagles.
Exactly.
It's like Bayern Munich are one of the best teams in the world. He's 35. Yeah, he doesn't start for them anymore because they are one of the best teams in the world.
People don't get it, man. And this guy,
he can't play elsewhere. Game.
And you like, know.
Doesn't mean he's not good because he lost his starting job on Bayern Munich.
Exactly. And the guy used to play, they're one of the best
Bayern Munich
in the world.
The best players in the world on that team.
And he's 35 and he can still find the pitch. That's the whole thing. Like people get older and stuff. Like, yeah, that's a really bad take. It doesn't matter. Him at 35 could still play with anybody in the MLS. Look at Vancouver too, Gabe. Like, I know you go to these games. They have the best goal differential, not in the West, in the league. They have the least losses in the league. They got 6. Everybody, the other teams have 7. Like, this is amazing. I'm just like, look at their record. 18 wins, 6 losses, 9 draws, 65 goals for, 36 against. That's amazing.
The thing with the Whitecaps, too, is their 6 losses, I would really only call...
Like 4?
No, I would say that, like, really only 2 of them, like, are real losses. Like, most of their losses are when they don't have any players. And that's another thing, too. The Whitecaps have been besieged with injuries this year. It's amazing that they've done what they did. They won on Saturday night at Orlando, who in Orlando are good.
Yeah.
They beat Orlando without 8 of their 11 starters. They only had 3 starters in their lineup, and they won on the road 2-1. They had 5 guys that were an international play. The Whitecaps, like, it was international weekend this weekend, right? So, and that's really dumb. Can you believe that? MLS have, like, playoff seeds on the line, and teams are playing without their guys.
I know. It's crazy.
Like, and the Vancouver Whitecaps are good, right? And the Whitecaps have, like, 6 guys that are international players. They have 2 guys on Canada, the Whitecaps. Ali Ahmed is on Team Canada, and Jaden Nelson's on Team Canada. They're both on the Whitecaps, and they're both, like, 22 years old. Like, the Whitecaps are, like, lethal. Like, when you look at the Whitecaps, like, what they have, like, their scouting department, it reminds me of the Expos, where it's like, yeah, we don't have any money, but we have really smart scouts, and we know who's good and who isn't. And it's insane. Like, if you're the White, like, teams would kill to have Jaden Nelson and Ali Ahmed on their team, right? And be like, wow, we got this young up-and-coming star in Jaden Nelson. He's only 22 years old. He's just one guy on the Whitecaps. So it's like the Whitecaps have this youth brigade. They have Jaden Nelson and Ali Ahmed, 22, 23, old. Tate Johnson, This kid, Tate Johnson, Cam, he can't even drink. He's not allowed to drink in BC. He's too young. He's straight out of Notre Dame. He played NCAA soccer. He looks like he's 12 years old. He looks like he's 12. Like he's got like apple red cheeks. Like his cheeks are all red. Like he's like, he looks like a kid kid. Looks like a kid kid. And they're like, yeah, we want you to guard Messi. He's like, all right. And he does it. And Messi's like, who the hell is this? Like, who's this American kid from Notre Dame? Like what? Right. Like, so like the Whitecaps have all these young kids that are effing good, good. That, like, they start, they can play, they're good. And Tate doesn't start unless he has to because he's a kid. But, like, and then you throw in, you got Brian White, who's, like, in his prime, mid-tier guy, mid-prime guy, like, American striker Brian White. He's had injury problems, but the guy's a scoring machine. He's like Brett Hull or something. Like, all the guy does is score. You got Berhalter, who's, like, you know, 28, whatever, in his prime. He's on the U.S. national team. You got Berhalter. You got Brian White. And then you get into the Cubises of the world and the Kenji Cabreras of the world that play for, like, the Chilis and the Perus of the world. And then you get to the top end, and you get Thomas Mueller. And Mueller came in to just sort of, they thought, all right, he'll be good in the room, and he'll show them how to win. They didn't think Thomas Mueller was going to be getting hat tricks in games and stuff like that. Like, Mueller's not even a pure goal scorer. Like, that's not even his role, but he's so effing good. And the Whitecaps are so good, like, that he keeps scoring and they're rolling. So if they get a win or a draw against FC Dallas, they get the top seed in the West. I'll tell you right now, Cam, it's legitimate. Like, they can win the championship for real. Like, other teams are fearing the Whitecaps more than the Whitecaps fear them type of deal now. Like, people are like, we do not want to have to go to Vancouver. Like, you're not going to win there. Dude, Philadelphia, Cam, had they won. Philadelphia had the best record. They won the Supporter Shield, Philadelphia. Philadelphia came to Vancouver 2 weeks ago. You know what the final score was? 7-0.
Yeah, murdered.
The Whitecaps beat them 7-0 to send a message that we'll see you in the final and just remember what we just did to you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the White, Messi and Miami came to Vancouver. What happened? They got effed up. They got, like, messed up good. Like, the Whitecaps rolled them so much so that Messi said, I'll never forget this, and we'll see you again. Because everybody praises Messi everywhere he goes. And when he came to Vancouver, people chanted Ronaldo is better. It was very un-Vancouver-like. Right after Messi.
I like that.
Portugal jerseys up. Yes. They were like, Messi sucks chants. Like, amazing. It was like, you don't adore me, huh? And and the Whitecap players, like, pushed him and, like, they got in his face and stuff. Like,
I love it.
No, the Whitecaps aren't backing down. But I'll tell you what, Messi's going to be a bitch to deal with down the road because he does have this circled, and Inter Miami are good. So I could see Inter Miami getting out of the East, and I'll tell you right now.
They're the favorites, Gabe. On FanDuel, I see Inter Miami 5, Vancouver's plus 550, Philadelphia Union 650, LAFC plus 650, San Diego 8, and Cincinnati 8.
San Diego's had a great year for an expansion team. Like, they're awesome. They racked up a lot of their points earlier in the season. They've come back down to earth a little bit. But they're still dangerous. San Diego are dangerous. So, but to me, out of the West, the biggest threat to the Vancouver Whitecaps is LAFC. They got that nuke. They got the Korean dude, and the guy is unbelievable, man. The Min Sung. All he does is score, 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 score. LAFC have been unstoppable since they got him on the same day. The Whitecaps got Mueller, and they're on a collision course. And it's like LA and Vancouver have a little history in the playoffs. So they're on a collision course. I'm scared as hell of LAFC. Like, I literally want to play anybody but LAFC in the playoffs. Like, I don't want to play LAFC, but it's going to be inevitable. Like, I think they're going to end up, it's going to happen because they're both the best ones, I think. But the only thing I can say is it'll be in Vancouver at least, right? Vancouver will have the home pitch. Vancouver has the better regular season record. Big time in Vancouver for me, Cam. I was thinking about going to the World Series and all that type of stuff, and I'm not going. I've decided. I said last year when I spent a lot of money last year on that stuff and the Rose Bowls and all these trips, And I said, it's kind of a once in a lifetime thing. And, you know, I'm going to do it now. It's just too expensive. Like when I add it up,
crazy,
with the amount of money that it costs for the tickets, the trip and stuff like that, I could bet. And in Vancouver, there's so much going on right now, which is rare. Like Vancouver is actually a buzzing sports city right now. As hockey is back, people are upset with the Canucks. They've got, you know, shocking development there. Three games in, and people, EP40 sucks, and Adam Foote sucks. So Canuck fans are in peak form already, hating the team. But this Saturday in Vancouver, we've got the UFC. So you got the UFC at the Rogers Center. We'll be going. It sucks. I'm going to miss the freaking Whitecap game because the Whitecaps are playing at the same time as the UFC card is. And they're the arena and stadium is right beside each other. So it's going to be, you know, really happening in downtown Vancouver on Saturday. But it pisses me off a lot because I'm a diehard Whitecap fan. But I already have my ticket for the Whitecap playoff game next week. So I'll bite the bullet. I'll miss the last regular season game, but I'll be at the playoff game next weekend. That's another thing, Cam. The World Series is next weekend. I already have my Whitecap tickets. So what am I going to do? I'm going to sell my Whitecap tickets to go to another game and like, nah. I'm a Whitecap fan.
Hey, man, I watch the Dodgers on TV. Like, look at you,
I was at Freddie Freeman's Grand Slam last year.
Like, who's, like, let's be honest.
Thing is, too, it's not my big, it was never my dream to go to the Seattle T-Mobile Park. I wanted to see the Yankees and Dodgers in the World Series, and I saw it. I did it.
Like, well, you saw Michigan beat Alabama. You saw the Dodgers, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, people don't even do anything. Look at it. Like, I go to Blue Jay games and Leaf games. Like, you're traveling all over. Yeah. Whatever.
Saw F1 debut in Vegas. Yes, nah, like, you know, I've like, been dude, in all I the
think
big
about,
events.
So think about how much money you drop, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So I think it could pass on that. I, to be honest with you, the way the Whitecaps are going, I think that's a cool experience to get to see these guys because they're on
fire.
Well,
hopefully,
right?
Yeah, hopefully we get all the way. To, if as long as it's not Philadelphia in the final, Vancouver could host the MLS Cup game. Yeah. That's why I'm so excited. I'm like, wow. Like, Philadelphia is the only one with a better record. So it's like, all right, we could host the freaking the MLS Cup final and get all the way through. So I got the UFC to go to this Saturday. I got the Whitecaps playoff game next weekend. And I've never seen the Montreal Canadiens since I've been here before. They always play, like, on a weird day, like a Tuesday. They never get the Saturday day. The Leafs usually play the Leafs on Saturday in Vancouver, but next Saturday, hockey night in Canada is the Montreal Canadiens at the Vancouver Canucks. And I know it won't be at the exact same time as the soccer game because they don't do that. They make sure that it's like a couple hours different. So I think next Saturday might be a daily dip for a double dip for me.
I'm just looking at this UFC card. There's a lot of fights that are not like minus 800, like Nelson Frivola, like minus 125, like minus one. Like, you know what I mean, Gabe? There's a lot of like tighter fights.
There's a lot
fights.
Of bettable fights. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I like the card for betting purposes, actually, this card. I like the Ritter's going to win the main event. And I told you guys on the Combat Sports Show that we do, the number is only going to continue to climb for the Ritter. So, son of a bitch, I see it's at 225 right now. It was minus 185 days ago.
210 on FanDuel, and they're usually jack up the favorites.
The Ritter's going to win. He's minus 225. Mike Mallett and Kevin Holland, that's going to go over 1.5. But I think Mike Mallett is going to win the Canadian. I think Zahabi, the Canadian, is going to win at minus 138. Jasmine Jazavicious against Manon Fourio, the French woman. It's the Canadian versus the French woman, but Manon Fourio is a killer. Like, she's like a freaking athlete. Like, when you look at her, you're like, wow. Like, she just sort of, like, she just looks it. Like, she's long, she's lean, she's strong. Like, she's a beast. This, like, if Jazavicious wins this fight, wow. But she's a plus 187 underdog. Like, that's why the odds makers know the French woman is a badass. But yeah, it's gonna be a fun
card. Who's this
dude
with the one name, Gabe? How do you pronounce that? Oraqualang? Oraqualang?
Iori Quiling.
Oh, Ori Quiling. Yeah, that's a tough name to pronounce. I was looking at versus Gibson. Asian. I'm like,
Iori. Yeah. Iori Quiling.
It's all one word. Interesting.
But I think, like, in the Asian thing, he's really just Quiling. Like, they go last name first, backwards. That's backwards there, right? So, like,
that makes sense.
So I think his real name, we would call him Quiling Iori, but he calls himself Iori Quiling. You know what I mean? Because they do it the other way around. You know what I mean?
Cool.
Yeah, no, good card. Good card on Saturday for betting. And it'll be on TV, too, so it's free free fight night on TV everywhere. So, yeah, we got the UFC Saturday in Vancouver. You got MLS on Saturday in Vancouver. You got, and then don't forget, the BC Lions play Friday night, too, but I'm going to be on the air. But the BC Lions play their final home game of the season, which I hope it isn't. I hope that that's another thing, too. BC, if BC win out, they're going to host the playoff game, which then it's like, wow. Then, Cam, I could go see the Whitecaps, the BC Lions, and on the right playoffs after. In the same weekend. Like, it would be like Saturday and Sunday because they're both in the same stadium.
That so Lions like, game, though, Gabe, you'll be off. It's a 10:30 Eastern start, right? Aren't you off at 10?
Yeah, but it takes me about a half an hour to get to the stadium.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't like showing up halfway through, and I've got an early – we got an early morning. I'm on at 9 a.m. Saturday morning. But what, one cool thing that is cool, though, and I like this, I forgot about the change almost, was that the CFL playoff games are on Saturdays now. They used to be on Sundays, but they're on Saturdays now, smartly so. So that's really cool for me because, like, if the BC Lions host a playoff game, it'll be at 3:30 Eastern time, 3:30 Pacific, or 6:30 Eastern, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific. So basically, I end the college football show at noon. I'll have a couple hours to get drunk, and I can go see the BC Lion playoff game on the Saturday afternoon. But and that's another thing, too. The Lions, they've only hosted one playoff game since I've been here. They never end up hosting playoff games. Like, they always sort of choke, and their owner is a good owner, too, BC. Puts a lot of money into the team, and they always screw them because you make your money back in these playoff games if you're a CFL owner. That's how you get your money back. Right, you put your that's like there's not a big margin of profit in the CFL for these owners. So you put the money in, you host a playoff game, and boom, you know, man, we just got like $1 million at the gate profit here. Like that, we can, you know, you got to host a playoff game, especially if you're in a big city like Vancouver. Yep. Like they'll open up the upper deck, you know what I mean? Like you host a playoff game in, you know, whatever, Montreal, so you know, or Hamilton, the stadium is the stadium. Right, like in Vancouver, they can get 55,000 people if they could sell the tickets. It's a lot of money, right, for the BC Lions. You know, you charge $40. You know, you charge $40 a ticket on average. You get 50,000 people. Do the math. That's $2 million.
It's a lot,
right? That's a lot of money for a CFL team to bag in an afternoon. So home playoff games are massively important, especially for the BC Lions. Football Friday tomorrow. We'll break it down. Rob Vino. We'll step up and in. We'll hit all these massive college football games and the big weekend in the CFL. Good luck with your Blue Jays, Cam.
Thanks. Yeah, no, we're going to need Scherzer to go out there and spin a gem. We need the hot tub time machine, Gabe, like the old days. But very dangerous. You said it. It's advantage Seattle in this game. If the Jays could find a way to win this game, man, that's like they're right there. 2-2 back in the series. That'll be amazing, man. This is huge.
Dodgers get it done tonight. I'd say lay the run and a half, actually, but it's -170 on the money line. The Dodgers will take a 3-0 series lead. Other than that, you're on your own later.